Coming up on Patriots This Week.
Everybody picked us to lose. You know, y'all guys, everybody picked us to lose. So, hey, don't get no better than that.
The Falcons were poised to rise up. The Patriots expected to melt down. But a shutdown corner sealed the victory.
The ball is batted away by Aqib Talib.
A victory that came with a cost.
And they just don't replace Vince Wilfork.
The train keeps moving. No one feels sorry for the Patriots.
Certainly not Cincinnati. Stunned by the Browns, the Bengals need to rebound. And Bill Belichick knows they have the talent to do it.
It could really make you look bad.
So the Pats are focused on a shutdown of the Bengals, not the government shutdown.
It's not football related. We're not allowed to answer that.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
On a night when the heart of the defense was lost for the season, it took a shutdown corner to shut up the critics with the rest of the 10 guys. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak. Joining me as usual, former tight end Jermaine Wiggins from Eastie. Give me some. Former linebacker Matt Chatham, who won 3 rings with the team. Guys, we're going to start with the defense. Through the first 3 weeks, it's all been about the offense and the young receivers and this quarterback. We'll get to them. But a 30-23 win. Wiggy, how big was this win? Not only how big was the win, but a little bit of a disappointment. You lose a guy like Vince Wilfork for the remainder of the season. How tough is it going to be to replace this guy?
Well, I think it's going to be extremely tough to replace Vince in the middle. I think one guy that might have to slide over and try to take on some of that slack, I think, is going to be Tommy Kelly. I think he kind of fits more in the Vince mold of being able to take on double teams. But you got to give this defense a lot of credit. I mean, the critics talked about the Atlanta offense, Julio Jones, Roddy White, even though he was banged up a little bit, Tony Gonzalez. And I think defensively they went out there and they did a tremendous job against them.
Matt, you played in this system. It's a 2-gap system. Talk about Vince, his responsibilities, how much, as Wiggy said, this may rely on Tommy Kelly to kind of take up that slack. You got Joe Villano, but talk about how important Vince is to just anchor things in the middle.
Just understand Vince's body type. He's not a 6'5 or 6'6 guy, oh. and he's wide. So, yeah. But the idea is that's what helps anchor plays. You don't watch him for 1 or 2 or 3 snaps. You watch him for 65.
Sure.
Does he not wear down between 40 and 60, that kind of thing? And I would disagree. I'd go a different way because I think Tommy's taller. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be an anchor guy. And I think you actually, a guy like Joe Villano, who's a little bit heavy but actually is more of a technique underneath it guy, will do a little better in that regard. The other guy, Chris Jones, who we now need to sort of learn and catch up on, is a 6'1", 309. You're a little bit under that 6'4 marker and a little bit lower built. That helps. But I would not be surprised if the scheme has to change slightly. I mean, we're just so used to seeing one guy take on double teams. He's now not there.
Roddy White on the outside. Julio Jones. We talked about Julio Jones last week. 2 catches, 6 yards at the half. Yeah. How are they able to slow them down while still allowing Tony Gonzalez to get his?
Well, first and foremost, I think Aqib Talib had the best game of as a Patriots. Really not even close on the performances prior to that. So he was a huge part of this. I think what also was kind of cool is because they're multiple, because it's not just Vincent Jackson, it's 2 big dudes, even though Roddy's coming off the high ankle, you do have to mix it up. You can't just put one person on one guy. So they mixed the coverages quite a bit. They put different people, and that sometimes it was topped, sometimes it was combo coverage, sometimes it was single on an island. It was the idea that they were multiple that made the looks a little more difficult. But a problem did rear his head, and you mentioned that, Zoe. They had an issue with the tight end. I think they figured it out in the critical moments at the end of the game, but that was definitely something they'll look to get a better at.
But it's a pretty darn good skill set that the Falcons have. And what do you make of Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan is A-Rod. He does really well in
He does really well
in the regular season, but when games get a little critical, crunch time, and that's why I talk about playoffs, he makes the bad read. And I remember we were watching the game, and we go, okay, here comes Matty Ice with the INT, because he's known for throwing that interception when the game's on the line. And I think just he hasn't been able to get over that hump.
Matt, you look at the game plan offensively, and the way they ran the football, I thought that was imperative to set up the play-action pass. But
right.
It seemed like old days when you guys played for this team that run it down their throat, start with the screen, 10 straight runs the one drive, culminates with the touchdown pass off play-action. But the balance, 31-31, what'd you make of the game plan strategy, the way they called it?
It was the right game plan for the right team. And I think that's why fans need to understand that it's a different opponent each week and you come with a different sort of approach. This is a smallish front line, very small on the edges with the 2 defensive ends. It's the perfect time to do that kind of game plan. But the template drive you referenced was pretty cool in that it was bookended by a couple other plays that I think made it happen, which they started with the screen.
Right.
They started with the pass to the back.
Screen pass, huh?
24 yards to Ridley on the through the air. And we We do not see that often. And then they finished with the play-action play to Mulligan, which was sort of culminated by all the linebackers crashing the line because they've now had that suck. They've seen the 10 plays over and over again. I think that the tick and tack is really why it worked.
All right, rookie receivers, Wiggy. You know, guys have been criticized through 3 weeks. It's still a work in progress. I've said it. They're going to have their yips. But I thought the play of the game was 3rd and 19.
Yes.
Backed up. It was a, what, 3-point game, I think, at that
time?
Yeah,
New England was 13-10.
13-10. Yep.
Started the fourth quarter.
Brady bought extra time. Tompkins gets it. You get the kill shot at the end. Tack on an extra 15. And then he throws the nice rocket right over the top to him. What'd you make of Tompkins?
Well, I see, that's the thing about Tompkins. He makes the very difficult catches. He makes the touchdown catch in the corner of the end zone. He makes the third down catch where you have to spread out and you're basically wide open to get in the hits. And then it's the other ones that hit him right in the hands when nobody's around them. He drops. It's the inconsistencies.
Yeah, I don't think it hits him in the hands. And you pluck the football.
Yeah,
he allows it to come into the pad.
And that's when I realized that guys, they don't have as much confidence in their hands because they want it to get to their body so they can kind of bear hug it.
See, and I think that's something that can be fixed. And I think it's not that unusual for a rookie to be that way. It's not good hands, bad hands. It's the way you have to catch the ball in the NFL. You often get the rifle on a 12-yard in cut, where in the college, maybe it's floated in there a little bit. Get on the jugs machine. I know we spend a lot of time. It's just shooting balls, hundreds a day.
Yep.
But there's instances where I would see him catching and cradling high as opposed to plucking. And just little technique things that I think can be fixed. But do his hands work? Yes, because we've seen him do the incredible.
It's all about confidence. If you have confidence in your hands, you're going to go get the football. But if you don't, you're going to let it come to you. And I think that's the biggest thing. He just has to keep building on that confidence.
All right, talk about the running backs real quick. I think you could take a 29, put it on your chest, and you look like, where's the beef, you know?
Hey, I'm a pretty good boy.
How does this guy run away from people? They had angles on him.
Talk about
Ridley, too.
Yeah, well, because when you look at Blunt, I think, you know, a lot of people kind of get lulled to sleep because of his size.
Yeah.
You know, and they think, well, you know what, he's a big guy. But he doesn't really run like a big back. If you look at him, he wants to dance.
There's times he tiptoes up in there.
Yeah, he's not like a big, just I'm going to run you over. He likes to try to show that finesse. He's one of those big guys that wants to show finesse. But he has deceptive speed, and we saw him able to. When he goes north and south, that's when I think he's at his best,
right,
when he's not dancing. He just goes through the hole and hits it. And we saw that, and the running backs have done a great job.
See, I think the big thing is he's not sudden. That doesn't mean you're not fast. And I think he actually builds quite well.
All right, guys, good stuff. Coming up next, Peyton Manning and the Broncos off to a historic start of the NFL season. That and more when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. By Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new dumpster in a bag can take it on. And by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on LeGarrette Blount. The 26-year-old had its best day as a Patriot against the Falcons. The fourth-year pro out of Oregon ran the ball 9 times for 64 yards, including a crisscrossing 47-yard touchdown run to give the Pats a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. The 250-pound Blount has become the Patriots' pounding back for tough yards. This week's Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And obviously we watch the Denver Broncos because I think number 83 is out there also. We like to watch good quarterback play, guys. Peyton Manning, 16 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. How perfect is he playing right now, Wiggy, when you watch him play? And can he keep up this pace?
You know, he kind of looks like the Peyton Manning of old. I mean, it's, you know, he's all, 2 years removed from the neck injury. And I mean, his balls are just like hitting guys in stride on the money. I got to give him a lot of credit. He plays the game so well between his ears. And I think that's what allows him to be great, is because sometimes he makes calls and guys are just wide open.
You know, they're the kings of Septemberland again, and this, we always go through this, and we'll see where they're at in the end. Some of the errors that teams are making against him early in this first 4-game stretch is they're playing man-to-man coverage on the low portion. They're matching routes, and Peyton eats alive man coverage. So you're tempted to go back to man and overload, or go back to zone and overload the zones, which means you can't bring quite as many people.
Right.
So you have to find a balance. But if you're going to load, and we're going to try to match everyone.
What did you guys
and
play
make him
when,
not
when,
make
when,
it,
when it you frustrate work. Him specifically in those playoff games? You know, when Ty was kind of baiting him once, was it like an under? underneath two man where you had two high safeties? Or
we mixed coverages, but I think the important thing is the guys cannot be, just like you talk about the quarterback not being on the spot, you don't want the receivers to be on their spots either. You have to disrupt the routes. Mm-hmm. They can't be where Peyton expects them to be. Man matching often means you're just shadowing, and they're going to be where Peyton needs them to be, and he'll fit the ball in there. The idea is make sure they're not there.
But I think Matt brings up a great point, and it's like any great quarterback, and you know, you obviously play the position. It's about timing. If you can knock the receivers off their timing, jam them up at the line of scrimmage, reroute them, it's going to create confusion back there for that timing.
All right, let's get on to T-Sizzle, Terrell Suggs, who had his, I think, yearly sit-down. Throws it out there that the commissioner of the National Football League, Roger Goodell, actually has the power to go pull a switch and to kind of delay that Super Bowl when the lights went out in the dome. Yeah. Everybody, what do you make of it?
I don't think.
How do you go on air and put that out?
Yeah,
there?
I mean, T Sizzle, he's on his own page. I don't necessarily.
I like him. I mean, I don't think he's good for the league.
I don't think that the Goodell actually did that. But there's
good, Wiggy.
Thanks, Wiggy.
We're glad you're on that team page.
But there's been plenty of games that
Wiggy's been known thrown out there too.
Yeah, but there's been plenty of games that I've been part of that I felt like maybe somebody upstairs has a hand in wanting that other team to win. Based on, I was in a game
when you were dreaming.
I was in Minnesota and we were playing against Green Bay in the playoffs, and Brett Favre was the quarterback, and I almost felt like every call was going for Green Bay, and we as a team felt like, man, is this coming from up top? Do they want to see Brett Favre in another Super Bowl? So at times I feel that way.
Goodell deserves a lot of criticism, but when you come at him from crazy town, you undermine the real criticisms. The defenseless player nonsense, the fact that the field goal posts are too short. I mean, all the stuff where you could come at him from realistic angles, you throw in stuff like that and you can say, oh, these crazy players.
and that
hurts the overall argument.
He shouldn't be getting on anybody. Has he looked in the mirror lately?
All right, we got to talk about the Miami Dolphins, guys, because the Miami Dolphins went into their Monday night matchup with the Saints 3-0. A lot of talk, you know, we got this, we got Kansas City, we got Denver, we got New England, and then we had the Miami Dolphins who were undefeated. Again, just watch Ryan Tannehill, and I know people are pumping him up through three games. I don't know who to relate him to, whether it's like the Brad Johnson type, if you have a good defense, good offense, mm-hmm. play solid football. He's not going to kill you. But, Matt, you watch this guy play. Can he go out and win games?
I don't think Tannehill is any different than any other, a lot of, you know, the majority of the quarterbacks in the NFL. If he throws three picks and has a fumble, they're not going to win. I mean, it's really not that complicated. I mean, if you're going to turn the ball over in this league, you have no chance.
I'm going to just kind of put my foot on the brake a little bit with the Miami Dolphins. You know, I wanted to see how they did against New Orleans. I thought that was going to be a tough test for them at New Orleans, one of the primetime games, and they weren't able to kind of take advantage of it. So I'm still hesitant a little bit on Miami.
All right, guys, good stuff from around the league. When we come back and Patriots This Week continues, we talk about the Cincinnati Bengals, and that's who the next opponent is. Two weeks in a row as a former quarterback to get excited because we're talking about wide receivers. That's who quarterbacks' best friends are. Let's go to the tape and look at A.J. Green. Very similar to Julio Jones. He's a little bit more lanky, Jones more physical. Watch, he's covered right here. As a quarterback, you really wouldn't throw it unless you get that guy who could go up and fight it. We saw Tompkins do it for Brady last week. Four verticals here. But I want you to watch a safety. What Dalton does, freezes him right there. You see him come in on the bite. What you do is you have a guy on the outside who runs about a 4-4, have him just run right through the coverage. And again, right here at the top, good luck to this guy right here with the long hair. Offset guy right here steps up, and Dalton's looking at him the whole way. But you have a guy that can push up on a defender, break it back to the sideline. That's a guy that's got speed. You better watch where A.J. Green is, and there's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And guys, they go on the road this week to play the Cincinnati Bengals, a team they haven't played since, I think, the opener in 2010, when a guy by the name of Chad Ochocinco was on the outside snagging, I think, 11 catches that day. But here are the Bengals, and that's a team that a lot of people, a lot of the prognosticators like to pick and say they got a ton of talent. Marvin Lewis coaches them. They're a young defense. They get after you. What about Andy Dalton and A.J. Green, though? It's one of your better young passing combos in the league. Wiggy, start with you.
Yeah, I think they are, and they have a lot of good weapons. You know, you always talk about A.J. Green, but the two tight ends, Gresham and I think it's Eifert, the kid from Notre Dame.
Yeah,
they want to go a lot of two tight end formations. The problem with Cincinnati and that offense is at times you see Andy Dalton look really good, but then at other times he looks extremely bad. He's making some bad throws. So I think it's all about the quarterback play. When he plays well and he plays smart and he's not turning the ball over and he's making the right throws, they're a very good offense. But then there's other times where he's missing guys by, you know, 3 or 4 feet.
Matt, there's a guy here that runs the ball and by the name of Brandon Bolden. Reminds me of the guy that runs for them and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Any similarities you see there? And how big can Ben Jarvis Green Ellis be for them this year?
Big, but he's not the only back. I think they still do a little bit of a multiple thing, and it helps them because they need to. Yeah, and it's really how it is with all teams in the NFL. I think the important aspect, though, for that offense, and it's something that still I don't think has been resolved for them, especially in the last week against Cleveland. When they lost to the Texans in the playoff last year, it became really apparent that Dalton was really heavily dependent on A.J. Green, and if he wasn't open, they didn't have anything. Mm-hmm. And I think your point with Grisham and Eifert is really important because he really needs to find a second outlet. They got it. They just haven't been consistent with it. He has to have more places to go with the ball, and there has to be back production. You have those three pulls, and I think you've got something.
I had the opportunity to be coached by Jay Gruden, who's the offense coordinator in Cincinnati. He really likes to utilize the tight ends, and that's West Coast offense scheme. Yeah. Likes to go two tight end packages and utilize. That's why they drafted the kid Eifert out of Notre Dame, and Jermaine Gresham was a first-round draft pick. So I think they're going to look at that film from Atlanta and say, okay, we can take advantage of the Patriots linebackers, and I think that's the one thing. If you're the Patriots, you got to say, okay, how do we slow these guys down? And the best way to do it is disruption at the line of scrimmage, and we saw the Patriots do it later on in the Atlanta game where they start walking Ninkovich out and saying, okay, make sure you hit this guy before he releases. So you might see some of that.
It's an important distinction. We often use this phrase that fans might not pick up on, the whole idea of rerouting, which is essentially changing the route, not letting him run where he wanted to, contacting a route. And I think you'll see from last week's film with Atlanta, there's a lot of teachable moments in there for these linebackers. You can contact a guy and actually help him into his route. If you push him to where he's going, you're artificially giving him separation. I think we saw that a lot.
You look at them defensively. Mike Zimmer, their defensive coordinator, 4-3 nasty type style. Matt, stay with you real quick here. James Harrison comes over from Pittsburgh. A lot of people said this is the defense that will carry them in the AFC, and that's the reason why they'll be a contender. Are you buying what they're doing defensively?
Yeah, they're fast, they're athletic. This is one of the better defenses we'll see. I think we talked about this early when we were trying to handicap what kind of games they were going to be against these Patriots, and you had disruptive defenses with the Jets. Tampa brought a similar thing. I think this is a similar style, but you have an interior guy. I think that's the best of any that we've seen because with Geno Atkins. So the issue, though, I think is on the back end. They've had a lot of injuries in that area. We don't know if Leon Hall is going to be back. That's probably the vulnerability that Tom will be going after.
All right, guys, good stuff. When we come back, we're going to give you our predictions and also our game changer when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
It's the Week 5 Fantasy Lowdown. I'm Brian Lowe. Tony Romo hasn't thrown a pick in a month, and he's my must-start against Denver. I don't see Romo and the boys winning the game, and the no INT streak may end, but he'll pile up the yards as he throws all over the field. Make sure you sit Dwayne Bowe. His catches and yards are not where they need to be, and the Chiefs face a surprisingly strong Titans pass defense. This week's sleeper is Jets tight end Kellen Winslow. By default, he's perhaps the Jets' most lethal target against Atlanta.
The Fantasy Lowdown is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful.
All right, welcome back to Patriots This Week, and it's time for prediction time. Let's start with Matt Chatham. I need a score, and I also need your game changer.
Well, my score is going to be 30-23 because that's last week's score, and it sounds good to me. My game changer is actually going to be Jerod Mayo, and the reason that's important is because he's going to have a different look this week. You're going to have someone in your lap potentially. There may be more movement in front of you. That doesn't mean you can't still make plays, but life's going to be a little different without Vince. Let's see how he reacts.
All right, Wiggy.
Yeah, I like the Patriots in this one 27-20, and my game changer is going to be Dante Hightower because there's two tight ends out there that can make plays. We'll see how he's able to cover them.
Good stuff, guys. Here's the score. I'm going to give it to you real quick. 31-24, Patriots. Why? my game changer. Get ready, Rob Gronkowski. I'm saying it, I'm going with it. This is the week he's active. He's going to get out there. He's only going to have three catches. But him being on the field is going to affect everything for everybody else. And we all win. Patriots stay undefeated. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. Thanks for watching. See you next time on Patriots This Week.